It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 23. We're going to begin reading with the 23rd verse. And so please open your Bibles that you can follow along and read as we continue to study and research concerning woe unto the scribes and Pharisees. And so please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. And as you're doing that, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address here is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to check out our website, and love for you to do that because we got many studies there, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org, and we've got many studies there. The plan of salvation is there. You can read it. It's in an outline form to look up the scripture verses, and then also you could listen to it verbally if you would like to. And so I would love for you to check out our website there. And also it's got many studies there to help you not only come to know the Lord Jesus, but to grow as well. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will be just fine. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe and a mite and a nice and cummin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. The blind guides that which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto a whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within full of dead men's bones and of uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. We're going to end there. Ye say, we can continue here a little further. Ye say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves, that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents and ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? We're going to end with the reading there and prepare the study. But first we love to begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy your presence, enjoy your power. I just ask, Father, that you would guide and lead us today through this study. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit, that he will lead us, guide us, show us exactly what we're to learn, apply it to our hearts, and then serve you in the best way that we're able to do. So I ask, Father, that you will lead us and guide us and show us the way, because we can't go without it. But we cannot know you as to enjoy that teaching and that growing unless we know you as our Savior. And so please, dear Father, that you would touch the hearts of each and every person that's listening, that they will come to know you as their Lord and Savior, that they come to the cross, and at the cross they're going to recognize that they're a sinner and they're lost. The Holy Spirit does this work, and Father, as he comes and convicts the heart, shows you that you're a sinner and you're lost, then he will introduce you to the Savior, the one that took your sin away. And it's so important. We just can't know about it. We need to know our Lord and Savior personally. And so please, he's alive. We serve him. We praise him. And so, Father, guide and lead us today through this study now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have looked at that 23rd verse, and we find that they are more concerned, and the verse 24 confirms that, with the little things, the minute little laws, the ones that they have established, and they're missing those things that's important. And we find that today. I know folks today that are the same. Their words are harsh. They maybe have not much knowledge, but very little wisdom. And when they speak, they speak with almost condemnation. And we need to realize that that's what was taking place here with these scribes and Pharisees. That's the reason it continues to say over and over again, ye hypocrites, ye hypocrites, ye hypocrites, because that's what they were. And so they were looking, the tithe was so important to them that they would tithe everything, either this small little garden herb, it was like a dill, the one, the other was a spice. It was minor, small things, but they were a stickler on carrying that out. But what the problem was that they yet omitted, the scripture says, weightier matters like the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Things that were so important for them. And again, we look at the law here. And when the law was brought before them, the purpose of the law is to show them that they're a sinner, that they're lost. And so then next comes judgment. But if you come by faith to the Lord Jesus, judgment won't come because Jesus paid the price. Jesus was judged for our sin. And so there is mercy to be found if you come by faith to the Lord Jesus, and again, by faith. And so they had omitted those things. They were not concerned about those things. They were concerned about that you give your tithe of these small little items or large items, whatever the case might have been. And so Jesus was not, again, criticizing them for tithing. It was that they were not concerned about the important things. And that's what we're talking about here. And again, omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to have left the others undone. Yes, the tithing is important, but not as important as this. We need to see and prioritize and realize. Their heart was not right with God. They had their eyes on the outward things, not on the inward heart, on things that are spiritual. So they were leaving the other undone, as the scripture says. Tithe, yes, but justice and mercy and strength and faith. One can enter heaven without tithing. One can enter heaven without being baptized. One can enter heaven without ever joining a church. Those things you should do. But you cannot enter heaven no matter what church name that you're listed, no matter how many times you've been baptized, no matter that you tithe and give an offering above that tithe, none of that will matter unless you are born again. You need to come by faith to Jesus Christ and trust in him. You must be born again. Go to John chapter 3. You must be born again. The word, when it speaks of born of the water, it's not baptism. That's the word of God. Born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to have an active part in your salvation or you can never be saved, because he's the only one that introduces you to Jesus, shows you your sin through the law, through the word of God, and then brings you to salvation. We give another example here. Ye blind guides. See, that's what the scribes and the Pharisees were doing. They were the leadership. They were the folks that were bringing the word of God to the people. That's what the pastors should do today. That's what the preachers should be doing today. That's what the teachers should be doing today, whether it's one-on-one or a thousand, whatever opportunity that we have to share the gospel. We need to share it clearly and fully and completely and have a good testimony. But here it says, ye blind guides, you folks are more concerned which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. What a description here. What an example that we have here. If a gnat would fall into your drink, into your glass there, you would carefully dig it out. You would carefully strain it out. Yet the example here is you take big gulps and swallow a camel without even seeing it. That's quite an example here. That shows you how that their priorities are all messed up. Looking at little things, yet ignoring the great important things. That's what you're doing. We still today have what we call gnat strainers, yet swallowing a two-hump camel. Our priorities are messed up. We don't hear the gospel preached today. We don't hear people talking about sin today. We don't talk about the concerns of the heart and soul and the need to come by faith to Jesus. We don't hear that today. They have taken the word of God and using other scripture instead of staying with the old King James. They go with the new versions because, oh, it's so much easier to read. Let the Holy Spirit teach you, and you're not going to have any trouble learning and studying the old King James. Salvation be found there. We come to the sixth. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Jesus is really, really coming down upon the leadership of the church. And we need to do the same today. He would come down today and condemn today. Outward appearance. The outward cleansing. And today, it's sad because we don't even see that. Used to be why you wore your best to church. You would come and the best you had. Now, if that was just an old pair of clean jeans, that's just fine. There's nothing wrong with that, if that's your best. But don't dress up to go out on the town on Saturday night and then wear some old rags on Sunday morning. That just shows you where your priorities are. Put your fancy clothes on when you go out, but when you come before a righteous God and you come into the house of God, you should come with your best. And we've seen today now the preachers, everybody dresses down. What happened to the good days of coming and wearing your best? And again, whatever that is. Used to be you never saw a preacher stand in the pulpit unless he had a suit and tie on. Now it's far and few between. Where's the respect? Where's the desire to come before God with honor, with praise? You come with just a regular old shirt on and stand before the people to preach. I don't understand that. But I think that's, even though here we have the opposite, because they dressed up. Their inside was a mess. But if your inside is right with God, your outside will be right with God. There's the problem. Now these people, they were covering it. It says extortion and excess. Generally, we think of that being money and possessions. And it was. It was the collection of money by misuse of their authority and power. They even would threaten people. Sometimes the high prices of a purchase of something, it was excess. It was overage. Their clothes was so perfect and proper, but they covered that old dirty heart that's inside. There's the problem. They covered that old dirty heart. And today, we don't even do that. We don't even do that. But if the outside is not bringing reverence and showing honor to God, what's in the inside? What's that tell you? Tells me an awful lot. Look at verse 26. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Very thing we're talking about. Got several verses of scripture here we're going to look up. We're going to start all the way back in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There is the condition of every person's heart until you come by faith to Jesus. You have to confess your sin. You're a sinner, and it'll break your heart when the Holy Spirit, it will break your heart when the Holy Spirit shows you who you are. Then you say yes to Jesus, and he'll save you. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? We got a couple back here in the New Testament now, and then we're going to go back into Psalms. We got several in Psalms that are dealt with. And so Mark chapter 7, verse 18 through 23. And he said to them, this is Jesus, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever things from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats? And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. all these evil things come from within and defile the man. There was the problem with the scribes and the Pharisees. You must be born again, as we mentioned earlier. Let's go to Acts. Acts chapter 13, 22. Acts 13, 22. We're going to start with verse 21. Afterward, they desired a king. This is the nation of Israel. They didn't like the judges, and so they wanted a king like everybody else. And afterward, they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. When he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. What a desire there. Now we're going to go back into Psalms and find many verses of Scripture that go right along with that. And so let's go back to Psalms 139. Psalms 139, 139. Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me the way in, and lead me in the way everlasting. That should be the desire of our hearts. Pharisees did not follow that. Psalms 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Beautiful words. 19, Psalms 19. I told you we was going to look up several here back in Psalms. Psalms 19, verse 12 and 14. Who can understand his errors? Clean thou me from secret faults. Let the word, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. What wonderful, precious, precious words that we find. Go back to Numbers, because when we, and before we do that, we're going to look at verse 27 here, back in Matthew 23. So we find that we need to not have the appearance on the outside and not be concerned about the heart. You must be born again. You need to come by faith to Jesus. It's not preached, it's not taught. So many churches today just accept a universal salvation, and that is a lie. That is not what the Word of God tells us. You need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. You need to trust in the Lord Jesus. You need to look to Him today. And the only way that can come is by listening to the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, reading the Word of God, and let the Holy Spirit convict your heart, show you're a sinner, and invite you to the Savior, Jesus Christ. Please. And that is a time period, a day that you'll never forget. If you don't know the day, if you say, oh, I've always been saved, that's a lie too. That's a lie. Because there is a time in every person's life that the Holy Spirit will come to you to introduce to you the Lord Jesus, show you who you are, give you a mirror and show you who you are. And you're not going to like that, but accept it and then trust in Jesus. And that's a day that you will never, ever forget. And so please understand that. So let's clean the inside. Now, verse 27, back in Matthew 23, woe unto scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Once again, there we have it. For ye are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, ye are like unto a whited sepulchre. Now, what's a whited sepulchre? Remember that a Jew could not come within the area of a dead body. If you did, you would be determined unclean for 7 days. And so for you not to even walk over a grave, this is how they became so righteous, that they would whitewash the grave so that you could identify them, so that one wouldn't mistakenly walk over a grave and become defiled. Some said that they needed to whitewash that grave once a year. Others said that it was done more often than that, so it was identified not only by the person that lived around there, but also by strangers that maybe would be traveling through. This is what they did. They appeared to be righteous. This made a great example for the scribes and the Pharisees, because that's exactly what they whitewashed it. It looked good from the outside. For ye are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward. They made that grave fancy, but within full of dead men's bones and of uncleanness. That's what's down inside that grave. I don't care what you do with the top of it. I don't care what you do to make it appear and look right and good. And that was the issue with the scribes and Pharisees. That's what they did. That's what they gave that appearance. They appeared righteous. People today do the same thing. And again, we have even fallen so much that we don't even appear righteous. And yet still people come and they follow the preacher. They follow a certain denomination that has really, really left the Word of God. Do you know what the Word of God says? Do you understand it? Have you read the Word of God? Oh, yes, I read it all the time. Have you looked at the Gospel of John? Have you looked at the book of Romans? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God gave his only begotten Son. Please come to him. God the Father gave his Son to come, and he left glory. He left heaven. And he came down here to save us. But you must come by faith to him. There is not this universal salvation that some preach. It's not something that you just, yes, I know about it, so that's good enough. It's not. It's not good enough. The Holy Spirit must convict your heart and show you that you're a sinner and introduce you then to Jesus. And that is when you have an opportunity to say yes or say no. And you say no, at that time you're still hellbound. And there is a hell. Don't misunderstand me. The fires of hell, constant torment, the gnashing of teeth, it is we can't fathom, we can't imagine, and it's eternal. Don't misunderstand that it's temporary. that you just go into the grave. It's nothing, because it isn't. There is eternal home for the believer in Jesus Christ and the eternal home for the one that rejects it. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?